And let's go to our 2022 NHL draft again here and do some quick hits. Mark Shagg on the Hockey Writers has done a great job doing a bunch of these types of articles. But let's give our takes on a few of these things that he's written and given his take. Let's start with one that he does every year. It's called the Steal the Draft. And this is where he picks one player that he thinks is going to be the steal of the draft. So his pick was Frank Nizar. Great pick. I mean, I think he's going to be, again, undersized, but super skilled. And one guy that's been on, only one that kind of is weird is Craig Button's one. He has him, down in the latter part of the first round, which makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
He should be a top, I would say he's probably be a top 15 pick, maybe even top 10, depending. But that's Mark's pick. To start with you, Peter. Who is your pick for the steal of the draft?
I am going to say Liam Ogren. Oh, no, wait, never mind. That's for a different pick. I'm going to go Owen Pickering. Sorry. It's a Sunday. There we go. Just edit that out. No, I'm going to go Owen Pickering. It is going to be Owen Pickering from my pick. Mainly because of the fact that he's got the tool set. But his offensive game is raw. And even on the defensive side of the puck, he's really, really strong. I think he has the potential to be a very steady top four defenseman. And, we saw what he was able to do with Team Canada at the U18s, despite not having a lot of, positives to take from that tournament, aside from Bedard and Fantilli. You could take the fact that Owen Pickering had promise of being one of their top defenders in that tournament. And if he's able to put everything together, he's got all the tools. I think he's going to be able to combine everything and, improve his stock, improve his value, and improve his overall skill set. So he might be my steal of the draft, even though he may be anywhere between, top 20 to later end of the first round. Whoever's going to draft him, I think it's probably going to prove maybe later on that probably should have been higher ranked up maybe.
Yeah, I love Owen Pickering. He's a guy that, I want the Canucks to pick, but I think 15 is a little high for him. So, he may turn out to be that type of a top 20 pick and top 15 pick when all is said and done. So, yeah, Pickering's been a guy that he was on my top 10 defense article as well. So, I believe, yes. all the stuff I've written, I can't remember. Devin, who is your steal of the draft?
This is a topic that the more I think about it, the more names come to mind. I feel like I could sit here for 5 minutes and talk about players that could be the steal of the draft. I've even seen Matthew Savoy and more things fall out of the top 10. And if he's out of the top 10, I think he's the steal of the draft. Mm. But we're not going to talk about Matthew Savoy because, the player I have in mind for this one today is going to be Noah Ostlin. The reason why I think it's Noah Ostlin is because, over at my Red Wings team here at THW, we've been doing draft targets for the Red Wings, and Ostlin is one we did, and he's kind of a kind of an odd pick of one to do because he's not one that immediately comes to mind. But I think if all things go well for him and his development, he could end up being a top 10 player in this draft class. He is a phenomenal playmaker. He's a very smart hockey player. He's developing over there in Sweden, and you know how the Swedes handle their young players' development. So I have every confidence that he's going to continue to become a very well-rounded playmaking center. And he's a center, and Lord knows how valuable good, potential top six centers can be. I don't, as much as, we had that draft target for him for the Red Wings, I don't think he's going to be a top 10 pick. I'm not even sure if he's going to be a top 15 pick. I think he might end up being more in the 20 to 25 range. And if a playoff team, a team that's in the playoffs is going to get a player like Noah Ostlin, that's going to be huge for them because, like I said, his ceiling is top six center. Maybe if everything goes right for him, maybe even top line center, not top tier top center, but doable top center, if that makes any sort of sense. it's no Ostlin for me because, the further down he falls, I think the more value he's going to provide for the team that drafts him.
Yeah, that's going to be he's one of my favorites, too. And I want the Canucks to be able to draft all three of them, but that's not happening unless they do a crazy get three first round picks. And that's not going to happen. I want that Boston whole Bruins line. My steal of the draft, I mean, there's a couple guys that kind of come to mind in this, but this is a guy I've seen too many times in the 20s and makes no sense to me. It's Denton Mateychuk. And yeah. Keep seeing him in the 20-25 range. And I'm like, if teams let him drop that far, that's a steal. Now, he gets drafted in the top 10, top 15, then probably not. But if he gets going down to the 20s, where a lot of kind of these final rankings have him kind of ranked, I don't like it. Like, and that means the Canucks passed on him, which would make me really angry. I guess it depends on who they pick. But Mateychuk, I think, has the potential to be a poor man's Quinn Hughes, because he just has so much offensive upside. And they talk about his defense isn't the best. I mean, Quinn Hughes had the same thing when he was drafted. And look what he's done. I mean, he's improved immensely defensively. You can teach that. You can't teach skating. You can't teach, well, you can refine skating. I mean, but you can't teach the offensive skill that he's got and the, you know, that offensive instincts and the hockey IQ and all that. So Canucks fans, you already know that I love Mateychuk. I wrote a draft target piece for the Canucks on him. And he's my guy that I hope the Canucks take, unless he's taken before that. If the Canucks don't do that, I don't know. I don't care if he's not a right-hand shot, because everyone's like, well, Canucks need right-hand shots. But having Hughes on one pairing and Mateychuk on another, that's pretty good to me. I mean, you can fill those right side out with some good defensive two-way guys to complement them. So Mateychuk's my guy for steal the draft. And just quickly, Rutger McGroarty is my other one, because – again, he seems to be in those 20 range, and I don't understand it. Like, I don't understand why he's in the latter part of the first round. He should be in the top 15, but you know, I'm sure Toronto Maple Leafs fans are happy to see him around there, because he could potentially be available for them. So he may be actually available down there. So, but he's gonna be a steal if he does get drafted there. Okay, let's go to our next category. The do not draft list. This does not mean don't draft them at all, which, I mean, from the title, it kind of sounds that way. This is where you do not draft them in a certain position. So, I mean, who do I start with first? Peter, I'll start with you, Devin. Who do you have as a do not draft type player here?
Well, I'm glad that you started with the, you know, the asterisk that this doesn't mean don't draft them. It just means don't, you know, if you're not in the right area, don't draft them. Because the player I have in mind is Danila Yurov. And the thing with Yurov is if certain political situations were different, I think Yurov would be a top 10 pick and there wouldn't be much debate about it. But unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world. And that affects Yurov. There's going to be a lot of questions about whether or not he's going to come over from Russia, and that will persist until he inevitably does or doesn't. You know, I'm thinking of like Kaprizov, where it took him until he was 24 to show up. You know, these things happen. But as a, you know, in a bubble, in a vacuum, rather, Yurov is a very high end talent in this class. Like I said, I think he'd be a top 10 pick, and there wouldn't be much debate about it. So I think if you're picking in the top 10, what you usually want out of those picks is a player that's going to play sooner rather than later, and you know, have the potential to you know, to transform your franchise and, you know, take you to another level. I think Yurov has that potential, but as things are right now, you can't, you know, confidently say, oh, he might be here in a year. You know, it might be a while before he shows up and is, you know, is wearing your jersey. So depending on where you're at, which is the caveat with all of this, I would not draft Danila Yurov.
Yeah, and that's a big thing to be for a lot of the Russian players that are playing over there right now, because yeah, there's a lot of that unknown, and that's why Pod Colson dropped his draft year, because of the KHL thing, not the political stuff that's happening right now, but because he had a contract in the KHL, and it's like, well, you're not going to see him for a few years, and that's going to be the case with a lot of these guys that have those contracts, which KHL seem to be trying to do a bit more because they want to keep their players, which makes sense. All right, Peter, who do you have on your do not draft list?
I see, you know, a couple of times where Alexander Paravalov is in the top 32, and I did have him at one point, but he has dropped for me. I would not draft Alexander Paravalov in the first round. I think there's a little bit of question marks with his skating and his decision making to like pick the lanes and go, like, you know, it just doesn't seem very consistent at times. At times he's got great burst of speed, at times he doesn't, and he always takes a go to the outside instead of, and, you know, cuts to the inside. So he's very, very mobile in that aspect. Like, he likes to do that a lot, but based on the production itself, based on his mobility, I think he can really learn to add a bit more in terms of his mechanics and his overall speed. I don't think that he has the mindset, not necessarily the mindset, but that aspect that makes him a first overall pick. I think he still needs to make some improvements over there. Great shot on his off wing. You know, I absolutely love players that can actually play on their off wing and thrive in that role. He does that phenomenally, but I don't know. I still have some question marks with his game, his consistency, even his puck control at times. I wouldn't necessarily take that in the first round, maybe early in mid second, but not the first.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I think he probably shouldn't be drafted in the first round for sure. So my pick is do not draft Shane Wright first overall. No.
Oh, you would have made some enemies here, Matt.
I mean, he'd be the steal.
Just jokes. Just jokes.
Yeah, he did.
And Montreal Canadiens fans just shot to the comments. Yeah. No, my do not draft is do not draft Slafkovský ahead of Logan Cooley. And that's not a joke. I mean, I really believe Cooley's going to have the higher upside. I mean, I get New Jersey Devils don't need him, but that's a team need thing. But I still believe he should be drafted ahead of Slafkovský because of his overall game. I think Cooley's going to become a top end two-way centerman, like, you know, those Patrice Bergeron, Ryan O'Reilly, those types of players, Anssi Kopitar, you know, those guys that aren't going to be 100-point players, but they're going to be guys that are win you cups. And Shane Wright's in that same category. You know, that's why they've been talked that Cooley could potentially, at times, there was talk that Cooley could go ahead of Wright first overall. So there's reasons for these guys being this high in the draft. And that's because of their importance, not just because they can score goals, but because they can defend and be that type of center. You can just say, wow, throw him out there because he's going to be good. And it doesn't matter in what situation, they're going to step up and be a difference maker. So as much as people probably debate this, as what has been talked about Slafkovský being second overall, I believe Logan Cooley should be drafted second overall over Slafkovský. And that's why the Devils are looking at trading that second overall pick, because they're like, well, you know, we don't need Cooley, even though we think maybe, I mean, I'm not in their heads, but that's why there's been talk about it, because they're like, we don't need this guy. We could trade it, get another pick, get another player and be there. So that's my do not draft. As much as there'll be some disagreement on that, I think Cooley should be drafted ahead of Slafkovský just because of the fact that he's a more important position too than a winger. Yeah. Right. So that's my pick there. Let's go to our next one. The surprising guy to fall. And this is always a guy we see this all the time. Guys that you're supposed, and we saw that so many times in the 2021 draft. They're like, why is this guy dropping all the way to the fourth round? There's a few guys like that. And we're like, why isn't he drafted yet? So Peter, who do you think is a surprising guy that's going to fall in this draft that probably shouldn't?
I'm going to say Noah Warren, and I absolutely love the kid. Fantastic two-way game. I think there's going to be some knock on him because of the offensive production, but he has a steady foundation that can be, you know, a very impactful top four shutdown defenseman. Think, you know, kind of like a Colton Parayko kind of thing. You know, the big size, the heavy shot that he does have, the mobility to jump into the rush. I think that's going to be very valuable. I don't think he will fall, but I think there may be instances where he may fall to, considering that he's possibly a second rounder, he may fall to the third and maybe fourth, given how teams may look for the puck moving defenseman to be more offensively gifted. I think he has the potential to be that, but I wouldn't be surprised to see if he does fall, but I don't think that should be the case. From my opinion, but overall, I think I could see it happening.
Yeah, and it depends. Again, this is all where a guy's going. One pick can just mess up everything. One team can do it, and then all of a sudden you got guys dropping all over the place. So, Devin, who do you have as a surprising guy that's going to fall in this draft that probably shouldn't?
I'm going to say something that makes my skin crawl. and I mentioned it just a little bit ago. I think Matthew Savoy might fall. And a lot of it has to do with A, his size, and B, concussion concerns. I've already made it known a couple times now that I'm a huge Matthew Savoy believer. I don't need to keep going on about that. But I am not an NHL GM. And NHL GMs value size. They do. And they value players that they feel comfortable will play for them and not, you know, they're not made of glass, so to speak. I don't think Savoy's made of glass. I think he plays a tenacious game. And I think that, you know, if you're made of glass, you tend to not put yourself in a position to get rocked. And he puts himself in a position to get rocked. But I could just see, you know, a team might be looking real hard at Savoy and maybe would consider it, but there's another player that they also like pretty much at the same level, and he's bigger, don't have the same concerns. And before you know it, three teams in that same situation have passed on him. And all of a sudden Savoy's going 12th overall. And like I said, if he falls out of the top 10, I think he's the steal of the draft because he's easily a top 10 player in my opinion. But because of those concerns, I could see him falling. And the more he falls, the further he falls out of the top 10, the more likely I won't be on Prospect Corner anymore because my head exploded.
Well, if he keeps falling and 15th pick keeps getting closer, I'm going to be like, please. Canucks pick him. I don't think he's dropping to the 15. If he does, that's insane.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of people's head explode, I think. my surprising guy to fall, and this is going to be, again, I just mentioned a guy, do not draft ahead. I think Cooley's going to fall.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking at all these guys that, you know, Nemitz, Juracek, these guys are big time defensemen, right hand shot. Teams that need those types of guys could draft them higher. And I mean, there's talk that Nemitz is second overall. I mean, I don't know if New Jersey goes that route. Picks Nemitz over Slepkovsky, but you never know because the Devils do need defense too. So, I mean, they've got that in their ballpark to actually pick a defenseman. I don't know how many people have actually discussed that. They could potentially draft Nemitz or Juracek second overall. And that could be a possibility. I don't know, but I think Cooley could drop not very much. I think he'll drop. He may, if he does drop maybe to the five. Third or fourth, maybe. Look at what happened to Eklund. I mean, we thought he was going to be a first overall pick, maybe second overall for sure. And all of a sudden he's dropping to sixth. So it's like, it can be surprising, guys that we think are going to be that high. And then all of a sudden they're down, you know, lower than they should. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that could happen. So Cooley's my pick on that. I made two picks in a row. that Cooley's my pick there. Okay, the next one, which won't be Cooley because he's already there, the most surprising guy that could jump into the top 10, which again has happened in the past. Lots of guys that are supposed to be dropping a little lower, all of a sudden they're in the top 10. So, Devin, who do you have in this category, a guy that could potentially jump into the top 10? No one's really expecting.
Well, you know, it depends on... you know, how you define no one, because I think Frank Nazar could fit this category. I think, you know, like you said, even Craig Button has him as like a low first round pick, but I could see him going 8th, 9th, 10th overall. And then another one that I would say might be Connor Geeky, honestly. I could see Geeky kind of surprising and jumping up. He's size, he does have skill, he does, you know, he's been a well-regarded prospect in this class for a while. I've mentioned some things that I'm concerned about, but others are not as concerned. I've even seen some places say that they like Geeky over Savoy. And if one person thinks it, you know, somebody else thinks it. So I could see Geeky being maybe a surprise. I don't think he jumps higher than like 9th or 10th overall, but if you're going 9th or 10th, you're in the top 10.
And again, I mean, NHL GM still loves size. I mean, he's skating, yes, it's a question mark, but Again, can be developed, and he does have a ton of skill. So, yeah, I don't think more than top 10 for sure. But you never know. I mean, teams can screw things, and look where Kotkaniemi went, and that was not even expected.
and I mean, with the Senators going with Boucher last year, there's no idea what they do with seventh overall. So
we'll see if the Ottawa Senators surprise us again. Okay, Peter, who do you have as a surprising guy that could jump into the top 10?
So this is where I had Liam Ogren.
Okay.
So mainly because of the fact that, you know, you saw his, you know, pro-like mentality at the U18s and how he was able, obviously, you know, it's a lower level competition, but, you know, for his age range, he was a dominant factor. And again, being on that line with Noah Osland and Jonathan Lekaramäki really helped out, considering that, you know, they're a top line, part of the Djurgårdens quartet or trio for the forward line. But he has a very high-end work ethic, a great competitive nature, great skill set, a lethal shot, great playmaking abilities. He already has some pro-like qualities already. And if there's one player that I think that could be close to being NHL ready, not saying immediately right now, but maybe a 2-3 years down the line where he could come over sooner than expected, it's going to be probably Ogren. And I think he has that edge over Lekaramäki and Osland, where he already plays a very mature game. I do think that if there is a chance for him to get into the top 10, it's going to be like what Matt said. I mean, Devin said about Connor Geeky, 9 or 10 range, just gets right in there. I think Liam Ogren could get right in there as well.
Yeah, that's a definite. I mean, Ogren's, I really like him too. Again, there's so many guys that the Canucks should be going after. Ogren's another one. So I mean, they have options, and a lot of teams have options up at this point. So I mean, you never know what's going to happen here. My surprise, and this is where a guy that I believe, and I'm going to repeat myself again, at Matejczyk. I really think, as much as I say, you know, the 20th, I think a team will look at, because of how many guys like Cale Makar is ripping up the playoffs right now. You got Quinn Hughes and really good. Again, two undersized guys and with similar skill sets to Matejczyk. I don't want to say Matejczyk's going to be at that level, because that's a little bit, you don't want to put that on him, but he's got a lot of attributes. And just go back to what I just said, what I said about the steal of the draft. And I think a team could potentially say that he's a top 10 pick because of his skill and what type of defenseman that fits into the modern NHL right now. And he definitely fits, regardless of his defensive deficiencies, if people say so. Matejczyk, as you can see, he's a favorite of mine. And I hope he doesn't go in the top 10, because that means the Canucks can't get him. So, but I think he could potentially do that.
I could see him going to the Ducks at 10. I really could.
Yeah. Well, they went Olin Zellweger and you know, not that high, but they do like those types of defensemen. So that would be a Ducks pick for sure. Okay, let's do a disappointing one. I don't like doing these ones, but this is something that does happen a lot in the first round, is potential busts and guys that, you know, draft in the first round but never pan out. And we don't like to put a label on some of these, but I mean, let's do it. Devin, who do you have as a potential bust? I mean, not necessarily that they're going to never make the NHL, and but not to be the point that of everyone's kind of expecting right now.
I'm going to quickly do two, because I'm glad you made the disclaimer, because it's bust doesn't mean you're not a player. It just means you don't live up to maybe the hype that surrounded you going into the draft. One of them would be Cutter Gauthier. I could see him going really high, like maybe sixth overall. And he ends up just being kind of a middle six guy. And that's, you know, a middle six guy is still a really good player, but that's not what you're looking for at sixth overall, so to speak. So I could see him being a player that fits that. There's a reason why he's not like at the top of my list for the Red Wings, and that's one of them. The other one, I mentioned him as a surprising player to jump up in the top 10. That would be Connor Geeky. I'm not wowed by him. I really can't put my finger on it, but nothing about him, like, really, he doesn't have that it factor for me that other players do. And I mean, again, just like I said with Gauthier, I'm not saying he won't be a player. I just don't think he will be the player that he's drafted to be. I could see Geeky being a bottom six center, maybe a third line center that is really, really good. But again, not what you're looking for out of a top 15 pick. So I wouldn't say either of those players I mentioned are going to be busts in the sense they don't make the NHL, but they just don't live up to what the draft slot says they should be.
Yeah, it's different categories of busts. It's not making NHL at all, like a Griffin. Oh, he did make the NHL, but those types like Griffin Reinhart, who was drafted really high and never really panned out in the NHL. He did play some games, but not at a level of what he was drafted at. So we're not saying they're never going to make the NHL, but this is a demo, like, you know, we've said before. Peter, who do you have as a potential bust? I guess I don't like putting these labels on these guys, but it happens.
Yeah, not necessarily the fact that he's not going to make the NHL, because I really do think that he is. It's going to be Jaeger Furkus, and not necessarily in the sense that, and you know what, a little bit on the size, because he is 150, you know, I believe he's 157 pounds, 154. So compared to other smaller players, he does need to put on a lot of weight, or add a little muscle, add a little strength, to be an impactful, you know, top six forward that maybe he's projected to be. But there's also the sense that maybe he doesn't reach that kind of ceiling. Maybe he's still a third liner, very energetic goal scoring winger that, you know, can still make a significant impact on the score sheet, because he does play with pace, has a lethal shot, has the speed to like evade opponents and stuff like that. But a mix of the size, a mix of, you know, maybe potential may not be as high as it's going to be at the next level, because considering the fact that he had 80 points this season, that's like first line kind of like top tier, top six potential. He may not reach out at the NHL level, and it's going to be a completely different game. But if he's able to add that strength, then we're talking about a different story. But until then, maybe just want to tamper a little bit of expectations with him, just a little bit.
Yeah, we all love Jaeger Furkus, and we've said, we've mentioned him a lot. We're not putting anything against this guy. I mean, he's definitely going to be an NHLer, but where he's going to probably be drafted, he may not turn into what everyone's kind of thinking he will, or he might. I mean, I don't know, right? But definitely has potential being that type of player. My pick is going to create a bit of debate, and this is a guy, Juraj Slafkovský. He's going to be drafted second overall, most likely. If not third, I mean, he's going to be drafted in the top five. I don't think he's going to be as impactful a player as everyone thinks he's going to be. As much as he's done it against men, everyone says that he's done it against men. He's playing against, he's playing in the Olympics. He's playing the World Championships, and he's doing really well. Nothing against that. I mean, that's great, but he hasn't really done that in his league. I mean, he hasn't been that dominant. And then everyone's expecting he's going to be an NHL player that's going to score 40, 50 goals. I don't see it. Right now, I don't see it. As much as sample size is not enough to me to put that type of expectation on him. I think he's going to be an NHL player, great NHL player, but not to a point of being a superstar difference maker that everyone kind of thinks. Because it's been really recent he's been put into the second overall conversation. I mean, what was at the beginning of the season? I don't think he was even talked about as a top 10 pick, was he? I think
Slafkovský was top 10, maybe not so much, maybe top five, but he was in top 10.
In that area, yeah. But he wasn't put on this much of a pedestal as everyone he's kind of put on now. So, I mean, he may do it, but I think we got temper expectations on him, and whatever team drafts him, fans don't think he's going to be this huge difference maker, at least. Don't put that on him, because I don't think he's going to be that. If he does, that's awesome. But I think you got to temper expectations, because it's not fair to him just because of he's done so great at the national team, international level, which doesn't always translate to the NHL. So we will see. And that's going to be interesting to follow. Okay, let's get to our final category. This is a little bit of a fun category. We love doing this one. So the best name of the draft. We had a few really good ones last year. Red Savage, Owen Power. There was a few other guys, but those are the two that kind of stand out to me. This year, we've got a few other guys like that. Devin, who's your best name of the draft?
I'm going to throw out two. So sorry. Sorry if I steal one. Rucker McGroarty. Hell of a name. Love that. Yes,
that's awesome.
And then Cutter. His name is Cutter. Come on, Cutter Gauthier.
Those are great names. I mean, and the thing is that, you know, looking at Rutger McGroarty, and this is Arizona, if they draft him that high, that's kind of, but they haven't, do they have another first round pick? What do they do? But That'd be just great to go to Arizona Coyotes and Rutger McGroarty.
it just sounds like a hockey player. I can't even put my finger on it.
It's awesome. Yeah. Peter, who do you have as the best name of the draft?
Kind of too. I mean, Luca Del Belbelouz has a really great name.
Yeah.
And, you know, Devin's talked about it before, you know, Jager Furkus moves like Jager.
Yeah.
That's a great name too. And I'm going to throw one that I'm going to talk about in Prospect of the Week, but I'll mention his name right now is Michael Mastro Domenico.
Yeah.
He probably a heck of a time doing that in school to spell that. And it's like, what, you've done your name yet? No, I'm still writing.
How funny.
That's my Mastro Domenico. That's just awesome. That's an amazing name. The double M too, which is
honorable mention. Honorable mention for me, Maverick Lamoureux, mainly because of the new Top Gun movie, you know, Maverick kind of thing.
Yeah. That's a good one too. There's actually a few really good ones if you look through the draft that potentially may not even be drafted, but their names are up there. Okay, let's get to our last segment, Prospects of the Week. I mean, there's a few that we had. I had a hard time picking this time, as I mean, there's so many prospects. It's hard to choose and not repeat ourselves too. Peter, who do you have as your prospect of the week?
Yeah, going to the St. John Sea Dogs, based on the Memorial Cup and the performance, William Villeneuve, Maple Leafs prospect. Obviously, you know, I don't really pick a lot of Maple Leafs prospects unless when I need to. And I've been really happy with his progression and his overall defensive game. You know, a lot of ups with his offensive production and his, you know, playmaking abilities. But, you know, he had the foundation of a two-way game, still needed to work on that and needed to get into a little bit more positioning, add some strength. And I think he's done that very well this season. I think he's the very underrated prospect in the Maple Leaf system. Heading into this tournament, I thought he was a name to keep an eye on. And we're seeing some of that benefit pay off. And hopefully he continues his trajectory, because I like the path that he's on right now.
Yeah, he was one of my favorites at the draft. You know, he was one of those guys that could potentially, I think he's going to be a really good defenseman in the NHL. And it's great to see him doing what he's doing right now. So definitely great to follow him. All right, Devin, who's your prospect of the week?
Well, Grindline was given some flack for not mentioning this guy during our prospect coverage episode. So figured I'd give him some love on this show. And that would be Swedish forward Pontus Andreasson. Talk about a cool name, right?
Yeah.
he was a undrafted free agent signed out of Sweden, because that's all the Red Wings know is Sweden. He's listed as a center and a winger. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up, you know, getting the most look basically in training camp. There's hope that this guy is going to be a NHL player for the Red Wings. I know I replied to that comment that I try not to get too high on these free agent European free agents, because for every you know, Artemi Panarin that comes through, you get a Ville Leino that just kind of disappears into nothingness. So you can't be too high on a player just because they look good in any given year. Mm-hmm. Now, to that point, this year in the SHL, he did have quite the year. He had 38 points in 52 games. That includes 18 goals. And then in the playoffs, he followed up with 13 points in 13 games. And that's playing in a men's league, SHL, and he's 23. So he's not, you know, a veteran forward. He's 23. Mm-hmm. He's got room to grow still. So, yes, he is definitely, to that comment, yes, he is definitely a name to keep an eye on. And I look forward to seeing what he can do at training camp and see if he can push his way onto the roster. So, yeah, keep an eye out for Andreasson, because a little under the radar signing for the Red Wings, but it might end up paying off really well for them.
Yeah, and over in Canuckland, we have to temper expectations on Andrei Kuzmenko, because, again, European free agent. But, I mean, he's ripped up the KHL. He's 26, so he's more a veteran forward. He's not really a prospect anymore. I was going to mention him in my prospect report, and then I realized I'm going to get flack for this one. He's not really a prospect. So we'll see what he does, but he's not my prospect of the week because he's not a prospect. My prospect of the week, I alluded to him before, is Michael Mastro Domenico. I love saying that name again. I just wrote his prospect profile. I haven't released that yet. That's coming today sometime. So I'll look out for that to more about him. But just generally, I mean, he's a guy that's probably not going to be drafted high. I mean, he's probably going to be drafted in the fifth, sixth round, maybe. And there's even guys that don't think he will be drafted at all. But he's got some great attributes that could potentially be an NHL player. I mean, he didn't have an amazing season in the USHL, but he had a decent one. And looking at his overall game, he loves jumping up into the play. He's probably one of the like most aggressive defensemen and doing that. Loves doing stepping up in the rush. Maybe at times that maybe don't do it, but he's usually pretty good at doing it. Pretty good, decent shot. One thing that's all I looked through when I was doing my research on this guy and looking at videos, his skating is not at the best. I mean, he was kind of touted as in the scouting reports I looked at throughout the QMJHL draft, which he was drafted into. Hasn't played in that league yet, but was touted as being a pretty good skater. But now a lot of different guys have been kind of saying his skating isn't the best. And this is one thing that needs, maybe not his skating job, but his mechanics. He's got to kind of refine that to be an NHL player potentially. But I think he's got enough tools to be potentially an AHL guy or a bottom pairing defenseman. But we've been just surprised with these guys in the past. He's a right-hand shot, got decent size, 6'2". So, I mean, he's not like he's a small guy. Very good at blocking shots as well. So guys like that have made the NHL in the past, improve his skating. You never know. So look, keep an eye out for Mastro Domenico, just not just because of his name, but he's got some skill too. So look up.
Can you imagine trying to fit that name on the back of a jersey? Good Lord.
You're going to need some smaller letters.
Yeah. Yes. We're using font 8 for this one.
But yeah, we'll find out if he's able to translate his skill into the NCAA, which he's going to be playing for Notre Dame in next year. So that's going to be interesting to see what he can do in the next level. Okay. That was a fun episode. You know, we had some fun with Memorial Cup and then some quick hit draft stuff, which is coming up quick. Our next episode, we'll be able to say it's next week. So it's only a few days away after our episode next week. So we'll have some, a little bit more preview talking about the draft, what other stuff is going to happen. And then we're going to have of course, right after the draft, we'll be talking recap the first round and then talking about later rounds later on. So that's going to be fun to do as well. So stick to the Hockey Writers. We got, like I say, prospect profiles coming out every day, features. I started a draft showdown series, which did Nemitz versus Yurochek. Who would you draft? I'm not going to spoil it of who I picked, but definitely check that article out. I'll be doing a few more of those coming up in the next week or so. So look out for that. And again, all the stuff on the hockeywriters.com and the NHL draft guide, which is packed full of lots of great information from all of our draft prospect guys. So got a great team doing the job on that. So definitely I'll check that out. So thanks for watching another Prospect Corner. And thanks, Peter. Thanks, Devin, for joining me again. And we will see you next time. And we'll see you next time.